Blog Talk Radio.
Israelites, with your host, the seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
Yahuwah.
Live, Yahuwah's Radio, second day of dedication. Worldwide International Radio Broadcast is now on the air. Second day of the Feast of Dedication. I'll be your host for the second day of the Feast of Dedication. My name, your seer, Israel, of Seed Royal. We're going to find our elder and bring our elder and he'll tell y'all about the second day of the Feast of Dedication. And we'll kind of piggyback on what he brings to the table. So we meet the elder with a loud voice and say, Elder Mr. Tim, second day of the Feast of Dedication, Yahuwah be to that seed right. Elder Mr. Tim, second day of the Feast of Dedication, Elder Mr. Tim, Yahuwah be to that seed right.
And Yahuwah bless you, see as well as see as well. Hallelujah. Yahuwah.
All right, there, Elder, this is the second day of the Feast of Dedication of the Almighty Son. He came down 70 miles and he put in the whole 8 days, so this is the second day, so, and he came to do more than just eat. He came to do a whole lot of things we got to bring to the table, so whatever the Almighty put on you on the second day of the Feast of Dedication, take your time and bring it to the national audience here on the cross, come on.
Well, once again, Yahuwah bless you, Seer Israel, and thank you for bringing me into tonight's broadcast. Today is what we know, the Feast of Dedication, which brings me to talking a bit of a story before we start our broadcast. Some of us know today, I should say not some, but many of us know today, as Christmas Day. All the young ones get their toys on Christmas Eve, and adults are celebrating Christmas, drinking their Mai Tais or whatever during the Christmas season. Forgetting all about the Feast of Dedication, which makes me bring up a great point. Celebrating these things every year, where did Christmas come from? I'm pretty sure everybody's watched the movies on television. Saint Nick, Santa Claus, the guy in the red and white uniform with black trimming, sliding down the chimney. Well, where did this come from? You know, everything has to have a beginning. Well, so let's look at this. The legend of Santa Claus and the history of a Christmas legend. This started with St. Nicholas. The story behind Santa goes back to the 3rd century during the time of St. Nicholas, a monk. Pretty sure a lot of you didn't know that. St. Nicholas, a monk, even though some sources state that he might have been a bishop. But Nicholas was born around 280 A.D. in Patara, in a modern-day Turkey. Legend states that Nicholas had a given spirit and traveled the countryside, helping those less fortunate and the sick. Nicholas' parents were wealthy. That's how he was able to do all this, and left the bulk of their estate to Nicholas when they died. Nicholas, who always had the spirit of giving, took his inheritance and gave it to those less fortunate and lived a life of humility. During December 6th, it marks the anniversary of Nicholas' death. By the time of the Renaissance, St. Nicholas was the most popular saint in Europe. St. Nicholas was canonized by Pope Eugene V on June 5, 1446, and became known as the patron saint for children and sailors, waves of European immigrants. Brought St. Nicholas' holiday tradition to America. Now, would you look at that? He brought that tradition to America from Europe. That's amazing. By the end of the 18th century, St. Nicholas was recognized by an American culture. In December of 1773 and December of 1774, it was reported that groups of Dutch families in New York gathered to honor the anniversary of Nicholas' death. The name Santa Claus, now get this, the name Santa Claus was stated to evolve from Nick's Dutch nickname, Sinterklaas. That's right, Sinterklaas, a shortened form of St. Nicholas, which is translated as the Dutch name for St. Nicholas. Now, listening to that story, I'm quite sure a lot of you didn't know that, or maybe some did, but sort of put it in the background of your memory. Now, what's in the foreground of your memory and present is raising kids. That's right, we raise kids. Because they have imaginations, and we have to work with that. Here's some key points. An imaginary friend, one of the things that kids have is imaginary friends. They grow out of healthy, active imagination. Second point, imaginary friends help children express feelings and practice social skills. Third point, as children get older, they usually stop playing with imaginary friends between the ages of 5 and 7. And point number 4, I learned myself at 5 years old when I made a Santa Claus trap that actually worked. I caught Santa Claus, found out he was my dad. So I grew up that day at 5 years old. So now, what happens from the Bible? So we learn from the Bible in Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 6. 6 says, train up a child in the way he or she should go, and when he or she is older, he will not depart from it. So this is what we have to do. Work with a kid's imagination until he gets old enough to be able to realize fact from fantasy. And I'm quite sure most of us learned that in school. Those that still carry that. This is why, on this program, we welcome and thank you for attending our live broadcast of Yaqua's Ministry. We always come to you live with new and exciting topics from the King James Bible. And we've often been asked about that. How can you guys get this much information from this one book at Yaqua's Ministry? Well, it comes from connecting the books. Your health, foods that you should eat, and keeping the Sabbath days. And we do all this and much more because you have not. Seeking this information that you have now found in the Voices of the True Israelites, Tribal God Job. And we're open unto you from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. on normal days. But today is a high day. Well, we open from 7:30 to 10:30. But normally, We're open Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 6 to 9. Now, also, we do have a Sabbath class, and the top part of the Sabbath is Friday. At current time, starts at 7:30 to 10:30, and the bottom part of the Sabbath is Saturday. Temple class starts at 12 p.m., and the online class starts at 2 to 5 p.m. until the temple members desire to leave. We even have a website address. Use this on any search line and at tribeyada.com. And after you click enter, just under a big line, you will see some choices. One will be tithes and offerings. Click PayPal and follow those instructions. In the other device, you might see menu. But after clicking this, again, you'll see choices. Still choose the tithes and offerings. In doing so, remember what it tells all of us that reads the Book of Psalms. Chapter 96, verse 7 and verse number 8. 7 says, give unto the Aqua, your kindreds of the people. Give unto the Aqua glory and strength. 8. Give unto the Aqua the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Now, I always remind everyone that when you join this, to remember that Aqua loves a cheerful giver. And also donations to this ministry is greatly appreciated, that you give according to the Bible scriptures we read in the book of Leviticus, chapter 27, verse number 30, and read once again in the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 8, and verse number 9. This is done to keep this ministry bringing you, thus says Yahuwah. Also, for building a school, which is very well needed, as you see from the information we provided during the beginning of our program. Also, a bankroll, radio station, and land to grow the health foods we continue to speak of on this program. Hallelujah. Also while there, check our calendar. It will help keep you, your family, and friends in tune with the Bible feast days, like today, Feast of Dedication, that come to us throughout the year. We even have a live broadcast, as you already know. To get there on your cell phone, computer, or tablet, just type in 3 words, Yahuwah Radio Live. And after you click enter, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yadah, and click the red live button that shows it appears. You'll be right into our live online broadcast. We also have 2 email addresses that the listening members can use. The first is tribeyadah@gmail.com. The other is yadahisrael@gmail.com. This is for writing your written opinions or questions of a biblical subject answer or related topics. Now, we even have a few numbers you can call with the offline line. The first being our live conference room number, which is 319-527-6065. The other is 224-600-5579. This would be our international number, where you can call and leave a message on those scriptures that you may have questions on, which can be answered by anyone at the 6 or 9 camps that Dr. Wallace mentioned. But also, in saying that, do not call this number trying to teach. I'll have to remind you, you'll only receive a discouraging dial tone. You can also, by calling the same number, order what our members know is the 12 programs via the 12 Tribes of Israel on DVD. Just make sure we get the correct name and the correct address, and you will receive it promptly. On another note, we might ask, please do not contact us here via email, phone, or text before broadcast or afterwards. As you might imagine, a reason for saying this, the seer is usually pretty busy with the WCC, the New York Station stockholder, Mr. Cigar Man, and answering many memos that most of us receive during our broadcast. And even now, in addition to that, the Latter-day Saints. So please use the international line of 224-600-5579. And if the question is legit, you will receive a call back, unless you call trying to teach. As I said, you will only receive a discouraging dial tone. Now, if you happen to miss the beginning of our program, you can always catch the entire show today after 10:30 p.m. Even Fridays, this program is also repeated after 10:30. Just enter 3 words, Yahuwah Radio Live. And after you click enter, Look for the voices of the true Israelites, Father God. Choose the program that you are late logging into, or actually, you can pick any previous day that you would like to listen. Now, another note, during our normal broadcast, we're also simultaneously transmitting our information on Pal Talk. On Pal Talk, we will be listed under ethnic group, African American. Look for Voices of the True Israelites, Father God, once again. And you'll find the room will hold 50 or more participants, where Yahuwah's Word will be working also for your Bible education. Online there to answer any of the on-the-table topics we discussed during our program will be Elder Mr. Tibbs, along with the Seer Israel, riding a shotgun. And during this time, we'll be taking no comments off topic or any more than two text questions answered at a time. And the Block Talk ends before teaching time. We will continue our teaching on Talk Talk. I'll be with you all. As a reminder, when we are given scriptures to speak by the seer, always remember to be quick to hear and slow to speak so the words of Yahuwah flow smoothly, remembering that we have hundreds of thousands of listeners that came to hear the righteous words of Yahuwah and not that of confusion. And we're reminded of this in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33. 33 says, "For Yahuwah is not the author of confusion, but of peace is in all churches the covenants of the saints." Because when we do this, we keep the Bible scriptures in mind. But when you're trying to win the bump the gums contest, you miss all the Yahuwah's glory which is said unto you. Because we are rehearsing the righteous act to learn the words of Yahuwah, as is told us in St. John chapter 14, verse 26. So we can start to do this and learn those words. We will turn our program back over to our seer of Israel and say, Halavu, Yahuwah.
All right, Elva, hallelujah, Yahuwah. This is the second day of the feast, or the feast called Dedication. It's the feast day that is an 8-day feast, and the first day you wear your white garments, and the last day you wear your white garments. All in between, you wear your royal blue. Now, feast of dedication is very important to understand one thing, that all feast days, although in the sunset, we do have classes in all six locations. But we come on the network on at 7:30. All feast days, white days, we come on at 7:30. So retime your clock and remember one thing, at 7:30 when it's a high day, or a festival day, feast day, whatever it is, all days start at 7:30. Although the classes start earlier, and if you got the week, come on Block Pal Talk, you can hear the broadcast earlier on Pal Talk. And like the elder showed y'all, get the Pal Talk, you just gotta go to them steps and tune in on Pal Talk, and you can hear the broadcast go raw. Pal Talk have no limit for us to be on, so keep that part in your mind. But this is the second day of the feast day, so we want to retract everything and make sure we line up and get us what the Almighty tells us we got to have. And we're going to see we're going to be on stage, although we live in all the camps, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. But let's see who will be on stage. Mother E. Israel, child of God, she was the one that moved out of Camp 1. She will be on stage for tonight's episode of RKQ. Mother E. Israel, got five people that see you right.
What?
Mother E. Israel, got five people that see you right.
Yahweh bless Israel. I see you all. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh. The excellent mother. One thing about the mother, they ready to go on whatever hand got to be played. They lead by example, and that's what it's all about. So we live at Camp 1, and we're going to go inside of Camp 1 and see if we find a young line, and we're going to see what he's going to put on table for tape number 2. Remember, this is an 8-day feast, and all feasts start at 7:30 on the network. Of your class could be in session immediately after the sun is down, but we come on the broadcast at 7:30 on feast day. Got it? Good. Brother Makati, Kavi, y'all got to do it. Y'all probably be there to see you right.
Y'all probably bless you there. There is where. Oh, see Roy. Hallelujah, boy.
Chapter 9, verse 22. And he informed me and talked with me and said,
what?
O Daniel, I am now come forth to give you skills and understanding.
So when the Holy Ghost leaves you, when he gets you making you feeling real good, what would you have, mother, that we'd be able to detect, no, dear Israel? When we look back at you, what can we detect out of you?
Skills and understanding.
Skills and understanding. That's what you have. So we're going to precept that, mother. So listen what he says in Matthew chapter 12, 31 and 32. So you will have skills and understanding. So now we want to precept that to Matthew 12, 31 and 32. What do 31 and 32 say?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Glory, somebody.
Matthew chapter 12. So now, when the preacher says they know what's going on after you've been sick and you're on fair all down, you don't do a sheets on top of you and they open up that trembling, then the pastor comes and listens up under the blanket and say, yeah, she got the Holy Ghost up under there. Okay, good. But when she come out under that sheet, she supposed to have what again, mother? According to Johnny 9:22?
Skills and understanding.
Skills and understanding. So that's the key. Now we read what you gotta have. So now when you see your next one run down the aisle, one of guys with size 14 shoes trip somebody and they fall, and then here comes Mama Julie to take a cloth and throw over you, because you know you came in with a short dress anyway, and them big diggers done got up. So they throw that sheet on top of you, then the preacher come down and he say, yeah, I know what she's saying. Do you really know what she's saying? Because when she come out from under that sheet, she goes at what again, mother?
Skills and understanding.
All right, skills and understanding. Matthew 12, 31 and 32 says what?
Matthew chapter 12, verse 31 and 32. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the righteous spirit shall not be forgiven unto men. 32. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the righteous spirit, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come.
So you got to be very careful, Mr. Preacher, when you say they got the Holy Ghost, and they got the Holy Ghost now. Because if you blaspheme on what the Holy Ghost come to do, and you take it another way, he said, let them know. They ain't got nothing coming in this world or the world to come. So that's very important. Now, if you see your preacher saying he know what somebody's saying up under that sheet, because they got the Holy Ghost on them, and you don't see no skills and understanding and knowledge. And so you gotta watch that preacher real carefully, because when the Holy Ghost visits you, you got skills and understanding. Now skip down to verse 36 and 37, and let's tie that in, mother.
Matthew 12, verse 36 and 37. But I say unto you that every idle word that man shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. 37. For by your words thou shalt be justified, and by your words thou shalt be condemned.
So by your words you're going to be justified, mm-hmm. and by your words you're going to be condemned.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm trying to tell you. See, he got a timeline on everything he's going to do. It's already written. So now, if you about get into the kingdom, there's some things you got to make adjustments. Now, it might be your preacher or your brother, your sister, your mother, your father don't know. Okay, that's fine if you don't know. But he'll put you in a position to show them what the Bible's saying. Now, once you show them what the Bible's saying and they reject it, it's not on you anymore. But sometimes you be in position to be able to help somebody understand that the way we've been taught is wrong. And the people that have taught us, they're not supposed to have the book in their hand. And when they receive this book in their hand, it's because of a failure of a people that went into captivity. So this record has to be laid out. So if you want to help your loved one, you have to show what the Bible's saying. And the key to it always is to do what again, that young line in that 1 Peter 4, 10, 11, what you got to always do.
In the book of 1 Peter, chapter 4, verse 10 and verse number 11.
Listen to this. this with one another. And what that supposed to mean? Hey, mother. Hey, Mother Eve. Live on stage. What that mean you got to for one another? Now look at the Almighty. He's taking that precept left from me right now. So we'll come back with that again. So he says, we have to be clear that we minister to one another. Now he says, now I had a precept to put on that, but evidently the Almighty taking away from me. So it must mean I got to come back to Brother Mackay and get some more, go ahead.
All right. The book of 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 11. Verse 11 reads, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of Yahweh.
Uh-huh.
If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which Yahweh gives, that Yahweh in all things may be honored through Yahweh the Son, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Otherwise, what he's saying, make sure you always have your mighty one up front. If it's important, that means the scriptures to back it up. That means when you speak, you got to have a verse on the table that you're speaking on. Because when the Holy Ghost leaves you, you have skill and understanding. So now, if the Holy Ghost visits you, when he leaves you, you have skill and understanding. Do you know the author means that when you minister to somebody, make sure you speak in his words, not your own words. Because he got everything covered on what we should do and to do what, Mother D. F. Israel. In second book of Ezra, chapter 7, verse 21. This would do what for you if we pay attention to what he's saying in 2 Ezra. And remember, these books were removed out by the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church looked at the King James 1611, and he had 80 books in it. And the Catholic Church said, no, if they have the whole 80 books, and they keep on looking at these books long enough, they'll know that we are the Christmas people. Christmas. Now, they got a mask on for Christmas. Mask. Now, you know if somebody comes with a mask on, you know he ain't coming to do you no good. A mask. And that's what Christmas is about. It's deceiving the heart of the simple. Christmas. A mask. Keep that in your mind. We'll check on that, talk on that a little bit later. But what we're trying to is show you to help yourself and others. 2 Ezra 7:21 says what, Mother D.F. Israel?
2 Ezra chapter 7 verse 21. For Yahweh has given straight Torah instruction to such as came what they should do to live, even as they came and what they should observe to avoid punishment.
And that punishment is more than just the first death. It is the second death when you ignore what the Bible saying and say what my pastor says. Mm. But what do the Bible say? The Bible says that we can read that, Brother Micaiah, the Bible says what we can read that when he started his judgment in 4:17, where is he going to start at? Let's see if he's going to start at Joe Miles Lounge. When he started his judgment, where is he going to start at? Let me be clear. When he started his judgment, and 4:17, where is he going to start at? 1 Peter 4:17, that young man. Take it down to verse 19.
For the 1 Peter, chapter 4, verse 17 down to 19.
Uh-huh.
The book of 1 Peter, chapter 4, verse 17 down to verse 19.
Listen to this.
Verse 17 reads, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the temple of Yahweh.
Yep.
And if it first began at us, what shall the envy of them that obey not the covenant of Yahweh.
He said, it doesn't confide with those at the temple. So the sixth anointed can't understand one thing. Job is going to start with you. He going to test you. And you know how he's going to test you? Whatever you love the most. Whatever you love the most, that's what he's going to test you with. They're going to try to reason with you with no book open. Why don't you reason with me by using the authors of the book? Prove to me that what you're saying we can read. They ain't not going to be able to do it, because the Almighty is not going to allow them to do that. They're going to use traditions of men to try to lure you to another direction. But he talks about that in the book of Mark. Yeah, Brother Micaiah. Right. He talks about this same thing that he said. Mark was around, and Mark heard what he said, and Mark said some things that you got to look out for. We're going to Mark chapter 7 and 6 down to verse 13. Well, this is real good. See, one thing about it, the Bible will tell you everything. And anybody stand before you, he must have a verse on the table that he's expounding on. If he's expounding on what he heard, that's not the word of the mighty one. You got to go in that Bible and put a verse on the table. Then you can sign on that verse, because if somebody walk in and say, where is our overseer at? What are y'all? Oh, he in the building. What do you mean he in the building? No, he got to be in a verse. He got to be talking about a verse, ain't he?
Hallelujah.
So if he ain't talking about a verse, he in the building, then you know right there and that. That's not the rules and regulations according to the Bible. You must have a verse on the table. Now, expound on it. Now, if they ask you for a precept, give the precept to it. Because he'll give you this understanding when the Holy Ghost sends you. He'll give you the verse to go to, and he'll give you the backup precept. That's when you know you can get comfortable with that person when it goes that way. You got it? Good. All right. What are we reading now?
Mark chapter 7, verse 6 down to verse 13. Mark chapter 7, verse 6 reads, he answered and said to them, well, hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honor me with their lips, but their mind is far from me. Verse 7, howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for a doctrine of commandments of men.
He said they teach what a man have told them. Mother Z, Israel. They said they teach what a man have gave them. They teach the doctrine of men. Men. Now, what is that we can read there, Mother Z, Israel? We're going to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Let's see what it says, Mother. Let's see what it says in Proverbs 4, 1 and 2.
Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1 and verse 2. Verse 1, hear ye children, the instruction of a father.
You see, and that's a great thing. Hold on, Mother. That's a great thing. Hear you children of Israel, the instructions of your father. Now that's a great thing. See, that's where it starts at. You children, you got to hear from your father, spiritually. That's where it starts at. And we're not talking about the Roman Catholic Church, because they're taking that from you right here. Come on, let's read a bit more, Mother.
And attend to know and understand.
And attend and to know understanding. Go ahead.
Verse 2. For I give you good doctrine.
Now, I'm going to give you good doctrine.
Forsake ye not my law.
Don't forsake my law. Now that is the greatest mystery in teaching. Good doctrine is don't forsake. forsake the law. But they'll tell you the law is done away with. Not knowing the law is done away with is the killing of animals in Hebrews 10. You cannot go to your priest and ask him or your overseer and say, well, I'm saying, he said, bring me 5 bullocks in or bring me, you know, no, that don't work no more. No, you got, that would have been taken away. In Hebrews 10, you're not going to read, it's the killing of animals to forgive your sins. Because that was to check you to stop sinning against him, because you stuck him at your waist line, and you ain't got nothing to work with out there because you keep sinning against me. So that will make your stomach growl because you ain't got no nothing to work with. You have to bring the best beef down to the priest. Mm-hmm. So now you, so you know, you make up your mind, well, if I sin this, I got to bring 5 bullocks. Mm-hmm. So I better leave that sin alone. That will just check you to stop sinning against him by taking away your livestock. Because there was no jewels of the name of the store. There wasn't none of them.
Right.
You had to go out your field and get what you need.
That's right.
Huh? There you go. All right, well, where we at? Finish that up, Bobby.
You want 3?
No, did you done 2?
Yes.
All right, good. Now, come on back, young lion. Come on back there.
We're going back to Mark. Chapter 7, pick it up at verse number 7 down to 13.
Okay.
Verse 7 reads, howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Verse 8, for lying aside the commandment of Yahweh, you hold the traditions of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things you do. Verse 9, and he said unto them, for well you reject the commandment of Yahweh, that you may keep your own tradition. Verse 10. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and whosoever curses father or mother, let him die the death. Verse 11. But you say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is poor man. That is to say, a gift by whatsoever you might be profited by men, by me, he shall be free. Verse 12. And you suffer him no more to do aught for his father and his mother. Verse 13. Making the word of Yahweh of none effect through your tradition, which you have delivered in many such like things, do you?
Mm-hmm. But look what he said. So you don't make the word with none effect. He don't give you straight Torah, first 5 books, what to do to live, to avoid punishment. And he made it plain if he got anything to say, I love to eat. If you got anything to say, Mother Eve, Israel, if he has anything to say, he said in Amos 3, verse 7. He said, listen, if I got something to say to anybody on planet Earth, this is how I operate. Hey, Mother Eve, Israel, live on the studio, what do Amos 3, verse 7 say? How do he operate in the Bible?
Okay. The book of Amos, chapter 3, verse 7. Amos, chapter 3, verse 7 reads. The book of Amos, chapter 3, verse 7. Surely the Yahweh will do nothing, but he reveal his secret unto his servant, Hosea.
That's how he operates. So, be clear that when they, at the Catholic Church, they got preachers all in boots, and you go confess with them, and they tell you, sons, your sins, they are forgiven. You, that's not correct. See, that's, I mean, the Holy Ghost is not busy. You got traditions of man, because he operates through the seer, according to what we just read. Now, we don't get a precept that mother, Eve. we're going to get a precept how you operate. So those that go to a confession booth to tell the priest their sin, that's not Bible-wise. That's something that's written outside the Bible that has been made up to keep you in sin. Because you read how you operate, and we're going to get a precept. And when you precept your father, do you know what that really means? Hold that point. Mother. I mean, A, B, or C. In Psalms 104, verse 4 and 104. Let's see what it says when you precept your Bible. Listen to what the Bible says. See, one thing about it, you got to lose all the bump the gong content. You might have a family member that can talk bad, talk good, and have you remember things that we did once before. But when the light turn on, you got to make a difference. Say, yeah, my son, yeah, my brother, yeah, my cousin, my sister. Yeah, that sounds good. But what about this verse right here? They'll tell you, put the Bible down. Put that Bible down. See that? They'll go through all that because they can't prove their point with the Bible open. So they'll tell you, well, put the Bible out and let's just talk. Look what it says to David. Now, David, of course, we're not reading 2 Samuel 2 and 3, 1, 2, and 3. The mental spirit came to Daniel, to him, and told him that I'm going to work with you. It didn't come out your mouth. I might have read that for the national audience sake. Help me out there, young man. Read me 2 Samuel 2 and 3. Can't take none for granted. But one thing about it, this is an international radio broadcast, and over 700,000 plus is on the international side. So I can't take for granted that they don't know what 2 Samuel 2 and 3, 1, 2, and 3 say. So I got to make sure they know it. Because they mess around and if they don't know it, then that's on me. So we'll make sure we put it on tape. What can we read in 2 Samuel 23, 1, 2, and 3?
2 Samuel, chapter 23, verse 1, verse 2, and verse number 3. Verse 1 reads, now these be the last words of David, the son of Jesse said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the Yahuwah of Israel, and the sweet psalmist of Israel, said, 2, the spirit of Yahuwah spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. Verse 3, the Yahuwah of Israel said, the rock of Israel spake to me, he that rule over man must be just, ruling in the fear of Yahuwah.
He that rules over man, you must be just. Ruling in the fear of YHWH, not Lord God and Jesus. Now, when you rule in the fear of YHWH, what is that fear of? Mother E. Hey, Mother E, Israel, what is that fear we can read? 111 verse 10 of David talking. Remember, when you read the book of Psalms, the mental spirit is the one dictated to him, not no college. No college told him nothing. The mental spirit is the one told him what to write for time to come. Now, David is speaking from the mental spirit, or you call it the Holy Ghost or the angel. He's working with David in 1000 B.C. for you to be clear how the Almighty operates. And David was writing from the position of being in power of the whole 12 tribes of Israel. So this was for his time. It was for our time. Now this was David received and put it in right. To fear your mighty one, let's see at 111 verse 10, Mother E, how do you do so that we can read? Come on.
The book of Psalms, chapter 111. Verse 10, the fear of the Yahuwah is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his Torah instruction. His praise endures forever.
And the Torah instruction is the first five books. The first five books of Moses.
Mm-hmm.
That is his Torah instruction. That's for the national how you get a good understanding. See? So you're not going to get no good understanding unless you keep the first five books. And something is written, Mother D.F. Israel, in the first five books that we need to take a look, a quick look at, since we have something is written in the first five books. We'll try Leviticus 26. Let's see what's in Leviticus. He said, now, you get a good understanding by doing the first five books. That what we just got to read, Mother D.F. Israel?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's find out what's written in the first five books to get a good understanding. Let's look at Leviticus 26, 1, 2, 3, 4. Now take note. Now here's how you get a good understanding. Remember, Spirit said, let you tell those to come, David. It's not going to be in your day. But tell them the fear of your mighty one, you get a good understanding by keeping his first five books. So what's written in the first five books we need to know about? Let's see what he says in 26, 1 down to verse number 4. Mother D.F. Israel. What can we read in Leviticus 26, 1, 2, 3, 4, and 9?
Leviticus chapter 26, verses 1 to 4, and verse 9. And verse 4 reads, then I will, wait a minute.
26 verse 1.
That's what I mean.
Leviticus 26, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah, and verse 9. Leviticus 26, verse 1. You shall make you no idols, nor graven image, neither rid you up a standing image. Neither shall you set up any image of stone in your land to bow down unto it. For I am Yahweh, your Yahweh. Verse 2.
You say you should not do what? Don't bow down to no stone. Mm-hmm. If you're in the Roman Catholic Church, they'll kick Mary's feet. They'll touch all of the wax on her feet is gone. And then they do. And when you go to the Roman Catholic Church, everywhere you see is an idol or a stone or somebody, right? And before they get in the door, they die and kiss them on the feet. They don't kiss Mary's feet so much, her feet are tiny. You see? Now, the Bible says don't even do it. You ain't supposed to have a statue or nothing even to worship, period. But before you walk into the Catholic Church, you run into everything that's of an idol. You got everybody. You got everybody looking like somebody totally different from the Bible. Mm-hmm. So how is that if anything is of a truth? It tells you what not to do, but we do it anyway. Mm-hmm. Now, so he said not to do that, right?
Yeah.
No standing images. I mean, none is no stop by and kiss on Mary and the baby Jesus' feet.
Mm-hmm.
And then that we're reading. What is that? Now, who said that? Keep reading.
Verse 2.
Now read the end of verse 1. Who said that? Don't do that.
I am Yahweh, your Yahweh.
So the Almighty One told you not to do that. So if you're going to do traditions of men, if you're going to continue to walk and sit there and look at a statue and sort of just cry and weep and kiss on the statue, the Almighty One that made everybody, me and you, that don't do it. Now go on a job and don't do what the paycheck man tell you to do. Let's see how long you be on the job. He said, don't do it. What does it say in verse 2?
Verse 2. You shall keep my Sabbath and reverence my temple. I am Yahweh.
Now keeping the Sabbath day is when the sun go down on Friday until the sun go down on Saturday. That is the Sabbath. The Sabbath is not Sunday morning, 9 a.m. at no Christmas mass. No, that's not keeping the Sabbath day. You're doing the traditions of men. You couldn't read that where he tells you to keep the first day of the week, Sunday. You can't read it, not in out of the Bible. You can go read out of a made-up literature that man has crafted put together. But if you will do the Bible, then do the Bible. That's how you got to tell your loved one. Let's do the Bible. Do the Bible tell us keep Sunday? Do the Bible tell us to have a Christmas mass? No. A mass. That means disguise yourself. A Christmas mass. Because big dignitaries is coming. I don't care if big dignitaries are looking. Big dignitaries come. It is contrary to the Bible, because we read what the Bible says for us to do and not to do. Verse 3, listen.
Verse 3. If you walk in my statutes and keep my Torah instructions and do them.
And do what?
And do them.
And what is the Torah instruction?
First five books.
Now, if you walk in my first five books and do them, now you're working with something. And what would he do if you do that? What would he do for you in verse 4?
Verse 4. Then will I give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit.
That means if you do what I say you do, you got a blessing coming. If you do what I tell you to do. Now, look what he says in verse 9 there, Moses, Israel.
Leviticus 26, verse 9. For I will have respect unto you.
And I will have respect unto you.
And make you fruitful and multiply you and establish my covenant with you.
Now that's a great thing. If you do what I tell you to do, you let you know what you got coming.
Yeah.
If you do what I tell you to do, now you know what you got coming. But he's talking to you, so we won't know who you is, so we can't take none for granted. Who is to you? He's saying he will have respect for you if you do what I tell you to do. Now, when we find out who the you is, let's see what the you be. The Catholic Church, the Mormon Church, the WCC, the Muslim Church. Let's see exactly who is he talking to that he going to have respect for you if you do what I tell you to do, that we can read. Let's back up our young minds here too. 23 down verse 25 of Exodus. Let's find out who is this he's talking to that we can read. Because if you holler on a busy bus, you, everybody can turn around. Who's you? You got to tell them who the you is. Hey, you, come off that bus. Okay, well, you got to tell them a little bit more. And that's what they don't do. They don't bring out the precept on who he's telling you and have respect for them if they do what I tell them to do. Now, we're going to go read who the you is by precepting your Bible, Exodus 2, 23 down to verse 25 by a young lion. Come on.
The book of Exodus, chapter 2, verse 23 down to verse 25. 23 to read. And it came to pass in process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel died by reason of the violence, and they cried. And their cry came up unto Yahuwah by reason of the violence. Verse 24. And Yahuwah heard their groaning. And Yahuwah remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Israel. Verse 25. And Yahuwah looked upon the children of Israel. And Yahuwah had respect unto them.
And Yahuwah looked upon the children of Israel. And have respect unto them. Now look at that. Now you tell me, how long have you been going to any of these churches and have you ever heard that verse read to you? The respect is to what people?
Israel.
What person according to the Bible? I mean, what Israel? According to that verse? The children of Israel. So he got respect for the children of Israel. Now I bet you couldn't put a pencil to the overseer at the Roman Catholic Church, or Muslim, or Islam, or Judaism, to read that verse. They would not touch that verse. Because it tells the story that he got respect for the children of Israel, and the children of Israel, A, B, or B. Let's read exactly what he says about the children of Israel in 49:28 of the book of Genesis. Look what he says about the children of Israel at 49:28 of Genesis. A.B. of Phoebe live at camp 1. Remember, camp 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. All of them has got the gates opened up for the 6 days left after this is called dedication. We're going to touch on the real shortly. You call for details that you were within 70 miles. So remember, the sun came from Galilee to Jerusalem. He walked 70 miles to keep the feast of dedication for 8 days. It got nothing to do with no birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming to keep the dedication for 8 days. But in that 8 days, he gave a message, which we gonna give the message to. But we have to get some foundational laid, then we'll get directly into the Saturday of the dedication. So remember, you can be saying what you want to say. He'll let you know what he wants on the table. But you understand something first. Then he'll get you where you got to get to. See, we got to be clear that your mighty one is with you if what you're doing lines up with the Bible, not line up with a made-up sermon outside the Bible. Now, if you read something outside of the Bible and you go on with that, that's out of the will of the mighty one, because he made it plain, Mother Eve, he made it plain in Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. Can you have to see out? Hey, Mother Eve, can you have to see out in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3?
Okay, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3.
Yes, ma'am. What
did it say? Okay. Let me get this. Deuteronomy chapter 8,
verse
3.
And Matthew 4, 4. And Mother D of Israel, Luke 4, verse 4. Let's see if anything changed.
Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, with thy know it not, neither did their fathers know, that he might make thee know that man do not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Yahweh do man live.
So what we're going to find out, the so man live by what, Mother?
The word. Every word.
How do man live?
Man live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Yahweh.
That's how man live. What you got there, Moses?
By every word of Yahweh.
He says written. Now, in class number one, can you tell me what is written at? He says written that man don't do that. Do we recall what is written at? What is written at? Well, Mother, he just got to read. That's what. So he's quoting the left side of the book. And they tell you the left side of the book is not away with it. Why he tell you go back and read it? He tell you go read. So that's what man live by everything that as is written. Now, where we left off on? We got that out the way. Where we at? Did we leave off on something?
Yeah, I
Did you finish my Mark? How far you get down to Mark? Pick up on my 10 out of verse 13.
All right.
Give me my Mark 10 out of verse 13.
Okay.
Now, we've been going for quite a long time, so we know we missed a couple of good marks, and we can get back there now. Mark was, and pick it up at 10 to 13.
Daniel chapter 9. The book of Daniel chapter 9 verse 6. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servant, the seer, which speaketh in the name of our king, our friend, and our father, and to all the people of the land.
Chapter 2, 1 through 10.
All right. going over to the book of 1 Maccabees, chapter 2. We're going to pick it up at verse 1, reading all the way down to verse 10. 1 Maccabees, chapter 1. I mean, chapter 2. 1 Maccabees, chapter 2, verse 1. Read. In those days arose Matthias, the son of John, the son of Simeon, a priest of the sons of Joarib, from Yahdah Judah, and dwelt in Modin. Verse 2. And he had five sons, Joanne, called Caddis, three, Simon, called Cisa, four, Judas, who was called Maccabus, five, Eleazar, called Abraham, and Jonathan, whose surname was Ephesus. Verse 6, and when he saw the blasphemies that were committed in Yahdah Judah, verse 7, he said, woe is me, wherefore was I born to see this misery of my people, and of the righteous city.
He said, woe is me to see this thing here.
Mm-hmm.
Now, but we don't say that statement on never mind. Ain't he a Phoebe? In the book of Esther, chapter 4, verse 12 down to verse 14. He said, woe is me to see what I'm seeing. Woe is me. What is I'm looking at in my day? Now, we're going to precept that to Esther, chapter 4, 12 through 14. Now, let's see what's going on here. See, sometimes we turn a blind eye to things. And so in his day, he spotted this. Esther, chapter 4, verse number 12 through 14.
of the righteous city, and to dwell there, when it was delivered into the hand of the enemy, and the temple into the hand of strength. Mm-hmm. Verse 8. My temple is become as a man without glory. Verse 9. Her glorious vessels are carried away into captivity. Her infants are slain in the street. Her young men with the sword of the enemy. Verse 10. What nation have not had a part in her king and gotten of her spoil?
Is everybody guilty? Is everybody guilty? And why is he saying to skip down to verse 17?
Verse 17. Then answered the king's officer and said to Matthias on this wise, you are a ruler and an honorable and great man in this city, and strengthen it with sons and brothers. Verse 18. Now therefore come you first and fulfill the king's law, the king's commandment, like as all the heathen have done.
What do you mean by come and fulfill the king's law? What do he want him to do, Mother dear Israel? He wanted to fulfill the king's law. What is that he wanted to do in 141? Let's read a little bit now in 1 Maccabees 1:40. What do he want Matthias to do? He said, you are a ruler. You got sons. You got great men following you. He said, come on. Come on and do what everybody else is doing. What do he want Matthias to do? Of course, in 1 Maccabees 1:41, we read a little bit about the DFB. Let's hear him out. What do we want
Matthias
to do?
Okay. 1 Maccabees chapter 1, verse 41 through. Okay. Verse 41. Moreover, King Antiochus wrote to his whole kingdom that all should be one people.
Oh. So he was telling Matthias, we got to become one people. Matthias. So that's one thing. That's one
flag
you put on
Matthias. 42. And everyone should leave his law.
And everything you've been brought up to understand pertaining to the law, you got to put that to the side. Let's reach up that, Brother Micaiah. Let's go to the 7th chapter 51 and 53 of the book of Acts. He said, now, what you have to do, you must, Matthias, whatever you have learned, put that to the side. All the upbringing you have came up with, leave that alone. Leave your law alone. That's what the king wants to happen. Now, we precept that to Acts 7, verse 51 and 53. What does it say there, Brother Micaiah?
The book of Acts, chapter 7.
Verse 51 and 53.
Okay. The book of Acts, chapter 7, verse 51 and verse 53. Verse 51 reads, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in mind and ear. You do always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Verse 53. Who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it.
So the big dignitary is going to met the diet to do what?
Break the law.
Break the law and forget about it. Ever been a law. So that way they won't met the diet by being in leadership. But he said, now, if you follow, everybody else going to follow. So now we want you to forget the law that's been brought up with you and your family. Forget all about that. So now this big dignitary comes to tell Matthias these things, you need to forget the law. Let's see what he said behind that. Come on back, Brother Micaiah.
All right.
That's how, what he said behind got it going on, people following you. You know, let's see what he said next. Come on.
Okay, we're going back to 1 Maccabees, chapter 2. And now we're going to pick it up at verse number 18. So, 19 read. Then Matthias answered and spake with a loud voice. Though all the nations that are under the king's dominion obey him and fall away, every one from the religion of their father, and give consent to their command. Verse 20. Yet, will I and my son and my brother walk in the covenant of our father.
You see that? But I don't care what you got on the table. We ain't gonna do what you want us to do to change if you were the king. We ain't gonna do it.
That's right.
Okay. So we ain't gonna do it. That was about the time. How many evil say that when he got that suitcase in your face? or tell you about some things on your job and everything else. Let's see what you do when you on the clock. Keep reading.
All right. Verse 21. Yahweh forbid that we should forsake the law and the order.
Did you hear that?
22. We will not hearken to the king's word to go from our way of life, either on the right hand or the left.
He said, we ain't gonna do it. And that's why I keep saying, we ain't gonna do it. And see, once you understand the thing, you'll be tried on whatever you love the most. But you gotta have the same understanding what they said on those before you. When they was on the clock to ignore, Auntie Willie Mae is coming by for this, gonna be here. You mean you're not coming over and joining with what Auntie Willie Mae to help raise you? See, now you're at the crossroads. See, now you're at the crossroads. So then you're gonna cut Yahweh business short to do what, Mother Z? Hey, Mother Z, what you end up doing in 6:24? I'm happy. So now you gonna be at the crossroad because Aunt Willie Mae coming by and Uncle Pete coming by. And they got presents for you too. So now you at the crossroad. So let's see what he says in 6:24 of Matthew, mother. See? Hear that? Matthew 6:24, what did he say?
Matthew. No man can serve two masters, but either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve Yahweh and mammon.
So you can't do it. He said you can't do it. I don't care who coming over. He said you can't do it. But we're going to try to do it anyway. We're going to leave Yahweh understanding early and go deal with the pagans. He said you can't do it. But you can do it if you want to do it, but you can't do it in this outside. He said you can't do it. It's wrong. You can't serve two mouths. You can't serve the false December 25th on Christmas and people flying all over in reindeer in midair and bringing presents, or you serve the December 25th of dedication when the Almighty came to bring a message to the children of Israel. You can't tell them. You can't tell them that. Look what he said in verse 33 of Moses Israel. What did he say in 33?
6:33.
Same book, verse 33.
Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of Yahweh and his righteousness.
It's right. he's saying first. And all those things you won't be added to. You can't sell the fence. Either you in, you out. Give me a precept on that. AB 12:30. Matthew. I need a precept. Give me a precept. Either you in, you out, according to Yahweh. Matthew 12:30. Watch this precept. Can you give you the spirit, the precept you got? 12:30, what it say, AB 12:30. Yes.
He that is not with me is against me. And he that gathers not with me scatters abroad.
You see what he said? If you're not with me, you're against me. And he said, you will be what when it's all said and done, mother? Amen. You'll be scattered. So there it is right there. So either you're going to roll with when he got rid of his body. Are you going to lose? Now, it might not be today. Might not be a month. But you're going to lose. If you don't gather, if you're not with him, you lose. You can't sell the fence. That's why he came to do a feast for 8 days. Now, in that 8 days, it was more than just eating. We're going to tell you what else was going on in them 8 days. Service. He came by with them 8 days. He did all the 8 days about to sit around eating and drinking and drinking wine and talk about what he did. No. It was a foundation. He was laying to you for time to come. Exactly where we're reading the foundation now by going back to the book of Micaiah. And what is 2:17? But yeah,
no. No. Going back to 1 Maccabees. Picking it up at verse 23.
23.
2:23. Yeah,
2:23. Okay, what is that?
1 Maccabees, chapter 2, and we pick it up at verse number 23. 23 reads, now when he had left speaking, 1 Maccabees, chapter 2, and verse 23. 23 reads, now when he had left speaking these words, there came one of Yadah's Jews, in the sight of all, to sacrifice on the altar.
Now, after he had told the big dignitary what he ain't gonna do, but now all of a sudden, guess what showed up? Mother D.F. Israel in 1:11-15 of Maccabees. This is what showed up. While he was telling what we ain't gonna do, but here come, we ain't gonna call his name out, here come 1:11-15 of Maccabees. While he was saying what we ain't gonna do, I don't care what you do, what we ain't going to do. Here comes what? 1:11-15, come on.
1 Maccabees chapter 1, verse 11 through 15. Verse 11. In those days went there out of Israel wicked men who persuaded many, saying, let us go and make a covenant with the nations that are round about us. For since we departed from them, we have had much sorrow. Verse 12. So this device pleased them well. 13. Then certain of the people were so forward herein that they went to the king, who gave them license to do after the ordinance of the nation. Verse 14, whereupon they built a place of exercise at Judah, according to the custom of the nation, the heathens. Verse 15, and made themselves uncircumcised and forsook the righteous covenant and joined themselves to the nations, to the heathens, and were sold to do mischief.
Yeah. You did. So now Mattathias is standing stiffly in the name, got his tape, his legs all taped up, his knees all locked in, but they don't fall on it. And tell him what he ain't gonna do. And here comes an Israelite, walk just past him, going to the altar. Let's see what he do. What did he do? Come on back. Okay, now, y'all see, wicked, you always going to be around a wicked Israelite. Because he He can be a wicked Israelite. And how you know who's wicked is by looking at the Bible and see who's straight and who's not. See, you got to watch everybody take the Bible. Well, now, he's telling the big dignitary what we ain't going to do. My sons ain't going to do it. It's, well, you got a lot of followers around you, Bubba. Why don't you just go and do the right thing and get your pockets greased? And while he was talking, here come a wicked Israelite, go walk past him going to the altar. Let's see what happens. Stop going to Micaiah. Come on.
First Maccabees, chapter 2, picking back up in verse 23. 23 reads, now when he had speaking these words, there came one of Yahdai Judah in the sight of all to sacrifice on the altar, which was at Modin, according to the king's command.
You see that? So you see that? So we gonna do what the king say. We ain't care about that Bible. We gonna do what the king say. You see that? You gotta see that?
Mm-hmm.
No. That's what wicked is like from child Judah, right? And what happened next?
24. Which thing when Mattathias saw, he was inflamed with zeal.
He was inflamed with zeal.
And his reign trembled. Neither could he forbear to show his anger according to judgment.
I mean, he got so nervous behind what he just seen him done. I mean, his spirit just got all in point. He watching this Israelite from child of Judah walk past him and go sacrifice to the king and fight into him to some pigs. Just before his eyes. He said he's so doggone mad. What did he do next?
So show his anger according to judgment, wherefore he ran and slew him upon the altar.
Well, what did Mattathias do?
Slew him upon the altar.
Oh, good.
Verse 25. Also the king's command, also the king's commission, who compelled men to sacrifice, he killed at that time, and the altar he poured down.
What? You mean he killed the big thing there too? When he got the killing, the wicked Israelite, he went and got the big thing in there too.
Yeah.
Is that what we're reading?
Yeah.
And what happened next?
Verse 26. Thus dealt he daily to the law of Yahuwah.
Oh, so what he was doing, what?
The law of Yahuwah.
The law of Yahuwah. Now, that's what he was doing. Go ahead.
Like it's beneath Phoenix.
He's done the same thing that the other big dignitary did way back in the book of Numbers and Leviticus. Go ahead.
Did unto Zimbrot, the son of Solomon.
Yeah.
Verse 27. And Matthias cried throughout the city with a loud voice.
Okay. What do you think?
Whosoever is zealous of the law.
Whosoever is zealous of the law.
And maintain the covenant.
And
him, follow me.
Follow me. Okay, follow me now. If you about to, you about your father's business, follow me. See, he come out, because he read that back in the days in the book of Leviticus, when 25, we not going to read it, when the Moses was giving out sentence, one of the Israelites said, going to grab him a Moabite woman and go into his tent. And Phineas came and stuck a sword through his back, and it hit in her back. So what was going on there? If you stick a sword through the man's belly, I mean back, and it get in her belly, then what's going on there? That's what he was doing. So that's what he remembered to do according to the Bible. See what's going on there? So you have to make a choice. Your loved one God, I'm saying something. Sooner or later, you want to make a choice. Is you going to do Yahweh's words, or you going to do the traditions of men, and you're going to lose. Keep reading.
Okay. First Maccabees, chapter 2, picking up at verse 28. 28 reads, so he and his son fled into the mountain and left all that ever they had in the city.
Okay.
29. Then many that sought after justice and judgment went down into the wilderness.
Oh, the one that
because affliction increased short upon them.
Oh, they're going to turn up on you now. I don't think they're going to turn up on you now. Tonight, said you, uh-oh, that's the part I don't like, the jaw part. Nope. The jaw part coming too. You will get the jaw part too now. Go ahead.
31. Now, when it was told, the king's servant and the host that was at Yadadu in the city of David, that certain men who had broken the king's commandments were gone down into the secret place in the wilderness.
Who commanded that, bro?
The king.
The king. Who was the king? Antioch the Pivot. Antioch the Pivot. And now, who is Antioch Epiphanes' mother, D.F. Israel? Who is this? Antioch Epiphanes. Let's run to 1 Maccabees again and find out who is Antioch Epiphanes. Who is this? Who is this mother, D.F. Israel? We're looking at 1 verse number 9.
Maccabees.
They found out Maccabees 1:9. They found out, he found out that they didn't want to keep his law. But who is you? Let's find out who you is, and we can read in 1 verse 9 and read with this and find out who you is.
1 Maccabees chapter 1 verse 9. And after his death, they all put crowns upon themselves. So did their sons after them many years. And evil was multiplied in the earth.
And what happened?
Evil was multiplied in the earth.
So when evil multiplied in earth,
Fred. Verse 10. And there came out of them a wicked root.
A wicked root from them. A wicked root came out of them.
Yeah.
Huh?
Antiochus. Surname.
Epiphanes.
Epiphanes.
So now we find out that Antiochus Epiphanes, the king, what kind of man are he?
He's wicked. A wicked root.
Wicked root. So now it tells him you got to follow the wicked root.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what we're reading?
Yeah, we're reading.
So when I go back and find out about it, when the king found out that they didn't want to follow my wicked ways, what happened next?
Okay. Well, the First Maccabees, chapter 2, picking up at verse 32. 32 reads. They put soon after them a great number. And having overtaken them,
now back up on verse.
Okay. Verse 31. Now when it was told the king's servants and the host that was at Yadadu in the city of David, that certain men who had broken the king's commandment were gone down into the secret places in the wilderness.
You see that? So now that wicked man sent a great army down there to put them in line and knowing that it's wrong. Right? Right?
Right.
Hallelujah.
Get down to verse 42. See what happened next.
Okay. Verse 42. Then came there unto him a company of a city who were mighty men of Israel,
mm-hmm.
even all such as were voluntarily devoted unto the law.
Oh, they were devoted to who?
The law.
Right.
Verse 43. Also, all they that fled from persecution joined themselves unto them and were a say unto them.
Oh, so now you got the call relief coming and everybody joined themselves into it, you know, by doing right. That's why I know when you're doing right, my little dog, you keep on doing right, then you'll send what you need to work with if you want. Go ahead.
All right. Verse 43. Also, all that fled from persecution joined themselves unto them and were saved unto them. 44. So they joined their forces.
What that supposed to mean, A.B.? What that mean? Chapter 2:1 down 2:1-3. What do they do? They join their forces. So how do they know to do that? What can they read that make them join them forces together? They must have had something in the
Gather yourself together, you. Gather together, O nation, I desire. Verse 2. Before the decree bring it forth, before the day passes at the cliff, before the fiery anger of Yahuwah cometh upon you, before the day of Yahuwah's anger cometh upon you. Verse 3. Seek you, Yahuwah, all ye beasts of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be you shall be healed in the day of Yahuwah's name.
Oh, okay. Now come on back, brother guy, and read. Now read again. That's 2:42 again. So now when these opinions came, they were what kind of mirrors again? And now we understand what's going on. So that's why I say all we got to do is keep holding on and lead by example. And this is going to happen again. 2:42, break it.
Book of 1 Maccabees, chapter 2, verse 42. 42 reads, then came there unto him a company of a city who were mighty men of Israel, mm-hmm. even all such as were voluntary devoted unto the law. Mm-hmm. 43. Also, all they that fled for persecution joined themselves unto them, and were a stay unto them. Mm-hmm. 44. So they joined their forces, and smote sinful men in their anger, and wicked men in their wrath. But the rest fled to the heathen for circle.
What is the problem, man? According to what we read in 10 verse 12, men. For what reason, according to 10 verse 12?
Five men is when one is taught from Yahweh, and his mind is turned away from his
maker. Oh, so now the precepts, they went after the proud men, because the proud men have done what? So the reason they went after them, because they were on the side of the way. Although they were Israelite Jews, wasn't it? Is that right? But they were proud, and proud mean what again, ABC? When you do what? Yeah. So you see why they look for them? Because they knew that you were on their side. So they say, hey, we might as well stick you on down. You see what that was going on with the ring?
Hallelujah.
Come on and read some more over there.
Okay. Going back to 1 Maccabees chapter 2. We're picking up at verse number 48. 48 read. So they recovered. So they recovered the law out of the hand of the Gentiles.
You see that? So they recovered. And when you get your forces together, you will recover everything that they take away from you. See that? So they recovered. What they had, they recovered. Is that what we're reading? And what happened next?
And out of the hand of the king.
Yeah, and the king was, what kind of man was the king?
A wicked man.
A wicked. And the opposite was wicked. When he got in power, everything multiplied, tripled. He was contrary to everything. Great.
Neither suffered they the sinner to triumph.
You see that? As they ain't at the center, even don't even open your mouth. You didn't want to do right. Don't even open your mouth. Pray.
Hallelujah. 49. Now when the time drew near, that Messiah should die.
That's good right there. So that's where you join forces and get your act together. Yahweh gonna give it up. So we found out right now, he went after the pride of that, and the pride of people is the one that look right the truth on the mouth and go contrary to us. I don't want to hear that, Bible. I don't want to hear that. See? So now, so there you go, the pride. Now we go on, maybe a feed and look at St. John chapter 10, verse number 22, 23.
I don't want to hear that. Verse 22 and 23.
Okay, yes.
Verse 22. And it was at the Feast of Dedication. And it was winter. Verse 23. Yahweh walked in the temple of
Solomon's court. So it was winter, and Yahweh's son went into Solomon's court. What was he there for? According to verse 22, 23? What was he there for? That's why he was there. So he walked in and knocked on the Feast of Dedication. Is that what we read? Now, we'll come back to, come back to that first Maccabees 2 and look at verse 54. Call back to remembrance of the act of your father. whenever you're in a tight, you go back and look what your father did, and then you know how to make your decision. So call back to act what your father did. Meaning, we just found out in St. John 10:22-23, Yahweh the Son went to the feast called dedication. So we're going to call back to remembrance and find out what's going on. Now, ABFB to go to the fourth chapter of Maccabees and get a second wind back on it. And 4:54. Verse Maccabees 4:54.
Then sound they the trumpet and cried with a loud
voice. No, 54.
54. 4:54.
First Maccabees chapter 4:54. Look at what time and what day the nations had profaned it. Even if that was the dedication of the dedicated song and hot.
So they said, look back at the time that they have done what again?
Look at the time.
That they have the power, right? So you got to look back. You got to look back. You got to go look back at this thing. We found the song, he was coming to his dedication, right? So we got to look back at this thing. Go back and say, look back. Now, Mother Eve, Israel, looking back. Let's find out what happened we're looking back at in the fourth chapter of 1 Maccabees, Mother Eve. And we're thinking verse 25. Make it 24. Now, we're looking back. We're looking back. So let's look back a little bit and see what we see.
First Maccabees chapter 4.
Yeah, we're looking back. Think of verse 24. We're looking back. Let's see what we're looking back to see. 4:24. Let's read a little bit.
First Maccabees chapter 4.
Down to what?
Verse 24
verse to 29.
To 29. Okay. First Maccabees chapter 4, verse 24 to 29. Verse 24. After this, they went home and sung a song of thanksgiving and praising the Yahweh in heaven, because it is good, because his mercy endures forever. 25. Thus Israel had a great deliverance that day. Verse 26. Now all the strangers that had escaped came and told Leslie what had happened. Verse 27. When he heard, therefore, was confounded and discouraged, because neither such thing as he would such things as he would were done unto Israel, not such thing as the king commanded him was come to pass. Verse 28. The next year, therefore, followed Nasser, gathering together 70,000 chariot men afoot, and 5,000 horsemen, that he might subdue them. Verse 29. So they came unto Adumia, and pitched their tent at Dathan and Judah met them with 10,000 men.
So remember he said, call back to remember these things, and we look at what happened, and he's keeping the dedication. Most D.F. Israel, particularly verse number 30, most D.F. Israel.
First Maccabees chapter 4, verse 30. And when he saw that mighty army, he prayed and said, blessed art thou, O Savior of Israel.
Oh?
O Savior of Israel.
So he saw the mighty army of Esau and his five sons. And he prayed to Yahweh and said, bless thee, our Savior of Israel. So now who is our Savior?
Yahweh the Son.
That's right. So they got the mighty arm. But our Savior is Yahweh, right? So he blessed him from Yahweh then. What happened next?
Who did quiet the violence of the mighty man?
Yeah.
By the hand of your servant David.
Yeah.
And gave the host of strangers into the hand of Jonathan.
Yeah.
The son of Saul.
Okay.
And his army bearers.
Mm-hmm.
31. Shut up this army in the hand of your people Israel.
Okay.
And let
who was the people?
Israel.
Okay.
And let them be confounded in their power and horsemen.
Uh-huh.
32. Make them to be of no courage.
No courage. Yes.
And cause the boldness of their strength to fall away, and let them quake at their destruction.
So remember, he said, call back to remember. So now he had for the dedication is to recall back why I'm really here. I'm here for the loaves. I'm here for the eat them up and drink them up. But I got to call back to remembrance of what this day really is about. And we read what the day is all about. Is what so far? What so far this day is about? I mean, what it's about, according to what we read now.
About the victory Yahweh gave them.
The victory Yahweh gave them. This is what you call, that's when he came to recall back to remember, y'all had a victory, and now I'm bringing it back to your remembrance. That's why you got to seek your father. They tell you about what you did once upon a time ago. See, that was the reason.
Yes.
And what happened next?
Verse 33. Cast them down with the sword.
Cast them down with the sword.
Of them that love you, love thee.
Yeah.
And let all those that know your name.
That know your what?
Your name.
Your name.
Praise you with thanksgiving.
Oh, praise you with thanksgiving. Want to know your name.
Yeah.
His name ain't Lord God Jesus Christ now.
Mm-hmm.
So the one that know his name, praise that name, right?
That's right.
All right,
34. So they joined battle.
So they joined battle.
And there were slain of the host of what is his name? About 5,000 men.
Yeah.
Even before them were they slain.
Uh-huh.
35. Now when Lysias saw his army put to flight and the manliness of Judah soldiers and how they were ready either to live or die valiantly.
They were ready to live or die valiantly. See, they look, they were about some business. They don't care how this thing go. We don't be on Yahweh's side.
Yeah.
You see that? They were to live, but he said, call just to remember to your father. Right? Now, A.B. or Phoebe, pick it back up at verse number 54 one more time, one more again. And young Ryan had me verse 36 waiting on me. Yeah, come on back to this four. That's your four. So this, so along 8 days, he was there to call this that to remember of what your father did. That's when he was there. He wasn't there to get no brothers. He was calling back the battle that he mustered the battle of back in the day. Mm. That's why he was there for 8 days. To tell you the story of the true meaning of December 25th. 54, come on.
Even in that day, and that was the dedicated of some centers and parts.
Mm-hmm. And right, and what day did they defile? That we can read. Let's go to 1 Maccabees chapter 1:59. Hey, Peter, what day did they do all this defiling and taking over your temple and bringing in all this wicked stuff? When did they do it? 1 Maccabees 1:59. When they do it?
1 Maccabees chapter 1:59. Now the 5 and 20th day of the month, they did sacrifice upon the idol altar, which was upon the altar of Yahweh.
Oh, so when they do it again? The 25th day. We ain't got what it is, but on the 20th, so Carl, remember, they did it on the 25th day, right?
Right.
So now we know it's done on the 25th day. So now we got to find out a little bit more about it by doing some more work. That's all. Come on, Carl, McCallie. So we know they defiled it and taken over the land on the 25th day, right?
That's right.
We're clear about that, right? Now, find y'all Hebrew calendars and somebody bring it out. Might as well have it. Come back in a minute now. Come on back,
Brother McCown, picking
the verse number
36. Okay. The book of 1 Maccabees, chapter 4.
We'll be following around with your Hebrew calendar now. You're supposed to have it. It's showtime now. 4:26.
Book of Maccabees, chapter 4, verse 36. Verse 36 reads, "They said Judas and his brother, behold, our enemies are discomfited.
Yes.
Let us go up to cleanse and dedicate the temple."
Oh, let us cleanse and do what?
Dedicate the temple.
And dedicate the temple. What is Yahweh going to do again among the of Israel 10:22 and 23? What is he doing again? If you can read? What is he doing?
John,
on the 25th day. On the 25th day. What is he doing? Because he called to remember now. So what is he doing in St. John 10:22 and 23? What are you doing?
St. John chapter 10, verse 22 and 23.
Uh-huh.
Verse 22. And it was at Judah, the feast of dedication.
Dedication.
And it was winter.
So this is dedication. Mm. So this is talking about dedication. Mm. I ain't thinking about December yet. We say we know it's the 5th and 20th day, that's the 25th day or something. This is going on, right? Right?
That's right.
We ain't got no what money it is yet until we can read it. Until we can read it. Come on back. Young line.
Okay. Going back over to the book of 1 Maccabees, chapter 4. We're picking up at verse 37. 37 will read, "Upon this, all the host assembled themselves together and went up into Mount Yadat Judah." 38. "And when they saw the temple desolate, and the altar profane,
mm-hmm,
and the gates burnt up, and the shrubs growing in the court, mm-hmm, and in a forest,
yeah,
or in one of the mountains, yes, in the priest's chambers pulled down."
Mm-hmm.
39. "They rent their cloths and made great lamentation and cast ash upon their heads." Verse 4. "And fell down flat to the ground upon their faces, and blew an alarm with the trumpet,
mm-hmm,
and cried towards heaven." Verse 41. "Then Judas appointed certain men to fight against those that were in the fortress,
mm-hmm,
until he had cleansed the temple."
Mm-hmm. And what kind of men did he get? The five kind of men he got. Come on.
Okay. 42. "So he chose priests,
mm-hmm,
a blameless conversation."
Let's see what makes you blameless. Let's see what makes you that we can read.
"Such as had pleasure in the law."
Oh, blameless? Were you keeping the law? Were you keeping the Bible saying and you're applying it? So that's how you blame this conversation. You, when you keep the law, when you read it, you keep it. Go ahead.
43. They cleared the temple.
They cleared the temple.
And bear out the defiled stones into an unclean place.
That's right.
44. And when they, and when as they consulted what to do with the altar of burnt offering,
yes,
which was profane.
Yeah, now so now they'll beat it down, throw it up real good. Now there's a crossroads. Go ahead.
45. They thought it's best to pull it down.
Oh, so they thought it's best to pull it down.
It should be a reproach to them.
Yes.
Because the heathen, he saw his fast son had defiled it, wherefore they poured it down.
Uh-huh. So he's doing a lot of things among themselves. And what happened next?
46. And laid up the stones in the mountain of the temple.
Yes.
In a convenient place.
Yes.
Until there should come a seer to show what should be done.
Yes. Yeah. See what it is? So they knew that we need to know more information. Two will tore down. Two will got together. But now let's wait on the seer. Because let's get a precept on that, A, B, or B. Because see, you got to be clear, and once you start doing the Bible, then you own something. Let's see what it says in the ninth chapter about that first Samuel. Let's see what the Bible says about that. Because you got people that will tell you something. And we go on and read what they say. And we go on to do a little reading in 1 Samuel. And let's see what we want. Now, I'm struggling right now. I'm struggling right now. No, I'm struggling a little bit right now about something. I can't believe I have now. I'm struggling a little bit right now. Thank you, Mother Lee. Thank you very much. For the first time, you're 9, give me verse 13. 9:13. Well, think of verse 12 next time.
Verse
12.
Verse
12. No, I'm thinking of verse 11, Mr. Lee. Think of verse 11.
Chapter
9,
verse 11.
Yes,
sorry. 1 Samuel,
chapter 9,
verse
11.
And as they went up the hill to the city, they found young
maiden bonds
out to draw water and
set them
to them.
Mm-hmm.
Is a seer here?
Is a who here?
A seer.
Is a seer here? Is that what it says? Question, huh? What else?
Jeremiah
chapter 15, verse 16.
Hallelujah.
Well, the fact you remember what your Bible says. That's why he said, he's coming to remind you, you were in captivity when he came here. When he came 70 miles to the temple, you was up on a Roman roof. But he came, and you had wicked priests in charge. So there was a big battle going on with him, from him. Get down to 55.
First Maccabees chapter 4, 55. First Maccabees chapter 4, verse 55 reads, then all the people fell upon their face.
Yes.
Worshiping and praising the Yahuwah of heaven. Who have given them good success.
The reason why you celebrate December 25th is because Yahuwah gave you what?
Good success.
That's why you celebrate December 25th. You gotta do what you say and marry nobody. It's showing you what Yahuwah gave you. Good success. Then he will show you how to come out of it now to get good success. So December 25th, the 8 days, to show you what you tell your Lord wants to pass on. What the king say he wants you to do. Well, get your laws, right? Mm-hmm. Don't remember none of this. And that was going on today. They don't remember none of this, right? Mm-hmm. So who laws did they follow? Satan and Yahweh Pippin.
Right.
That's the law we follow right now, but we don't know none about this. We make excuses for this, and this is what you got to remember to get you where you want to get to. Go ahead, next verse.
55 and 56.
Thank you.
First Maccabees chapter 4, verse 56 reads.
Right.
And so they kept the dedication.
So they kept the dedication. And what's the dedication about again? Abel? The deliverance of Israel out of captivity. The deliverance of Israel. It has nothing to do with present giving of Mary anything. It's Mary thanksgiving on Yahweh delivering us from captivity upon us, the white man and white woman's room. That's what December 25th is about. That's the dedication he came to keep. Right?
Right.
Go ahead.
And the dedication of the altar 8 days.
8 days.
And offer burnt offerings with gladness.
And we both be doing what? Being what?
Glad.
Gladness.
And sacrifices of deliverance and praise.
So this day is about what again, Abel? Just read it. Deliverance and praise. Make your mother of it. The day of the 25th is about deliverance and praises. Remind your grandbaby this was the day is about. Truthfully, deliverance and praises. Is that what we're reading?
We read.
You got to read Bible. Deliverance and praises. 57.
They decked also the forefront of the temple.
That's good. So you see all of them. They had gold everywhere. They decked it on. You guys have got all type of stuff. Go ahead. Skip down to verse 59.
Moreover, Judas and his brother, with the whole congregation of Israel.
The whole congregation of Judah of Israel.
Ordained. That's the days of the dedication.
It's the days of dedication. What was Yahweh's song keeping again?
Feast of dedication.
The feast of dedication. Of deliverance of Israel from the hands of the enemy. Is that right? Y'all got to say it with like a storm machine. Got to stay like a storm machine. Don't be falling around.
Hallelujah.
The day of December 25th for 8 days is the day of delivering of the children of Israel from the hands of Esau and Trevor Isaiah, the white man and the white woman, and they rule.
Hallelujah.
This is what the day is all about. Is that what we're reading?
We read. Go ahead, read. Dedication of the altar should be kept in their season.
In their season.
From year to year.
From December 25th, from year to year.
By the space of 8 days.
8 days. You keep it for 8 days. Good.
From the 5th and 20th day of the month.
And it starts on the 5th and 20th day of Cast Luke, which is what month?
December.
December the 25th. Is that what we're reading?
That's what we're reading. Good. With mirth and gladness.
And you got to have gladness with it, correct?
Verse 46. Verse 6. At this time also they built up the Mount Yadadu.
And they built up the Mount Yadadu.
With a high wall.
High wall. can't look at no other way but honor Yahweh to get our increase. We must come low to get high. You got to go through it to get to where you got to get to. The doors is open. We got to come together as one to do this thing here, and Yahweh gonna give us a go. 61.
And they set there a garrison to keep it.
Yeah.
And fortified Bethzur to preserve it, that the people might have a defense against Esau and his five sons.
Now go back to St. John 10, 22, 23, and over to the online. So now, you got to be able to truly tell your story to your grandbaby. Truly tell them about December 25th. And if you're not doing this, and you're doing something opposite, that's what's saving the devil. You got to be up to it. Grandma, you didn't bring me nothing. So you got to be able to show them in the Bible. This day, don't have, of course, the Bible has nothing to do with Yahweh's business. It's got to do with Satan's business. I don't care how pretty it looks to you with all the Christmas trees and all that stuff and flowers everywhere. That don't mean nothing to you. That is the kiss of death to you. It's spiritually in Yahweh. Now we're going back. Now, y'all, truly tell me what's going on here in St. John 10, 22, 23. And over to your line.
The book of St. John, chapter 10, verse 22 and verse 23. Verse 22 reads, and it was a Yahshua, the feast of the dedication.
Feast of dedication.
And it was when?
And it was when?
23. And Yahweh's son walked in the temple in Solomon's porch.
Now, what was Yahweh doing on the right side of the book there, Abel? What was he doing? Keep it what? And what is that? What is that all about? From here, and what day you started on? What month? December. So a lot of people had already on the 25th day of November. And on that note, over to our young line.
All right. Well, we'll keep this ball game, bro. We're going to get to talk about us some good old beat down, knowing that Yahweh the Son kept his feet of dedication. And like we already know, a lot of the other camps had already kept their feet of dedication. But we want to follow this bang as it is written. So let's go down. Let's sit they did with a loud voice. Let me get some of that Luke chapter 12, verse number 12, read so we get the ball game rolling. And see what that brings. Yes, ma'am. We're going to Luke chapter 12, verse number 12.
Luke chapter
12, verse
number
12.
For the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say.
And we believe that at B-O-T-T-Y, that the righteous spirit will teach you in that same hour what you ought to say. Now, let's see what John, and let's read that again, St. John, Mother Eve. Let's go to St. John chapter 10. Let's pick it up at verse 22 and 23 again.
Okay. St. John chapter 10, verse 22 and verse 23. It was at Jerusalem in the feast of dedication, and it was winter, verse 23. And Yahweh the Son walked in the temple in Solomon's court.
Mm-hmm. So Yahweh the Son, you know, we know that Yahweh the Son came and kept the feast of dedication. And we know that he was, and he went to the temple. And we know that when Yahweh the Son, now, nigga, something I want to look for and add a little something to that, Mother E. And when Yahweh the Son went to the temple, right? And let's go check something out. Let's see what he had to say in the book of Luke. And I want to see what they had to say in the book of Luke. Let me see what I'm looking for out of the book of Luke, chapter 4, right? And pick it up at verse number, give me verse number 16 and 17. Yahweh the Son, you know, when he goes to the temple, remember, still was saying that Yahweh the Son, you know, he's letting us know that he goes to the temple, he puts the things together. And he reminds us about when the time when he came to give us that great deliverance. So let's see what he did when he went to the temple. In the book of Luke chapter 4, give me verse, matter of fact, pick it up at verse 15 and give me verse 16. Luke chapter 4, verse 15 and verse 16. Yes, ma'am.
Luke chapter 4, verse 15 and verse 16. Verse 15.
That's right.
And he taught in their temple, being glorified of all. Verse 16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into
his temple
on the Sabbath day. And stood up for
three. So Yahweh the Son, when he came over to the temple at Solomon's porch, you know, Yahweh the Son came there to do some teaching. And he came there to do some teaching about what was going on his feast of dedication on December 25th. And remind us what he had done for us. Now, and when he came there, and this is the high Sabbath day, you know, he stood up through some reading. You know he was reading from this book that your big dignitaries had taken away from you and snatched out some books up out of your Bible. But he most definitely was doing some reading about what had taken place in some Maccabees that was going on there, reminding people what he had done. And matter of fact, let's get a case in point. How we know this thing was taking place? Mother D.F. Israel. Let's go back to that Maccabees. We're going to 2 Maccabees. And we're going to pick it up, and we're going to read 2 Maccabees chapter 10. And we're going to pick it up at verse number 1. And we're going to read all the way down to verse number 6. Yes, ma'am.
And his company, Yahweh guided them, recovered the temple and the temple. Verse 2. But the altar which the heathen nation had built in the open street, and also the chapel, they pulled down.
Chapel is church.
Mm-hmm.
Chapel means churches. You know, there's ones on every block, five on one block.
Mm-hmm. Verse 3. And having cleaned the temple, they made another altar.
Mm-hmm.
And striking stone, they took fire out of them and offered a sacrifice after 2 years and set forth incense and lighted and showbread.
That's right.
When that was done, they fell flat down and besought Yahweh that they might come no more into such trouble.
Now they sought who? So here he is again. We have the Maccabees. Now Maccabees, them, and they go out, they into it again with Esau and his five sons.
The Maccabees.
And here we is right now, we seeing that they fell flat and they went straight to Yahweh when they was in trouble. All right, now what happened after that, Mother?
But if sin
any more
against them, that he himself would chasten them with mercy.
Uh-huh.
And that they might not be delivered to the blasphemous and
barbarous
barbarian nation.
So they understood at their time that if they do no more sin against their maker, he know that they will be delivered.
Yeah.
That's what they knew. Today we don't know none of that. Verse 5.
Now upon the same day that the strangers profaned the
temple,
on the very same day it was cleaned again.
Now the very same day they now pay attention to this. Now they let it be known that these strangers profaned the temple on the same day, and on the very same day it was cleansed again. What time was it done, Mother D.F. Israel?
Even the 5th and 20th day of the same month, which is Catholic.
Now, what day is that? December 25th. So here they are, keeping the temple. I mean, inside of the, and recognizing that December 25th, they recognizing the Feast of Dedication and remembering the time that this very same day that this temple was cleansed. And so let's go to verse 6, and let's see how, let's get a timeline on these things for all the ones that be trying to keep these feast days a little bit too soon. What day is that? Now, what it say in verse 6?
Verse 6, and they kept 8 days with gladness as in the feast of the tabernacle.
Right, but at this time right now, they kept the 8 days in gladness as this was as in the feast of dedication.
Right.
And remembering what, though?
Remembering long after they had held the feast of the tabernacle.
Uh-huh.
When they wandered in the mountains.
That's right.
And demons like
these. Now, they let it be known, like, hey, now this is the time we kept this Feast of Tabernacle 8 days. Mm-hmm. But not long after that, before, right around that time, we just not too long ago kept this Feast of Tabernacle.
That's right.
When we was flying through the dens and stuff like some beasts.
That's right.
Trying to make it through this thing with Esau and his 5 sons.
That's right.
Now, let's do a little bit more reading about this. Matter of fact, that's the feast, right? Now, let's go get a little turnaround in the vent.
What was the last verse you lost?
That was the last verse, was verse number 6.
6 of what?
6 of, okay, 2 Maccabees, chapter 10. That was verse number 6.
That's right. 2 Maccabees, 10:6. Network won't know what verse you're on. 10:6.
So let's go get a rundown about see how these how Esau and his 5 sons, how they operate. See, this thing ain't nothing new what we've been going through with Esau. Let's go see what's going on in Samuel. Now in the book of 1 Samuel, Mother Zeke. We're going to 1 Samuel. And let's pick it up at chapter, give me 1 Samuel. Let's pick it up at chapter 15. And we're going to read, matter of fact, let's go to 16 first. And let's pick it up at verse number 15, Mother Z. Yeah, we're going to 1 Samuel chapter 15. And we're going to pick it up at verse number 1. And we're going to read verse number 2. And then Mother E, I want you to pick it up at verse number 6. And read down to verse number 8.
First Samuel, chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. First Samuel, chapter 15, verse 1.
Samuel
also said unto Saul,
the Yahweh sent me to anoint you to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore, hearken you unto the voice of the words of the Yahweh. Verse 2, thus said the Yahweh of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid waste for him in the way when he came up from Egypt.
Mm-hmm. Now he said he remembered what Amalek had did when he laid waste to us when we were coming out of the land of Egypt. Now this is something that happened a long time ago when we was coming up out of the land of Egypt, right? So let's go remember that. Let's go remember that, see about that in the book of Deuteronomy. And let's pick it up at verse number, chapter 25, Mother Dear of Israel. And let's pick it up at verse 17 down to verse 19. Verse 17 down to 19.
Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 17 through 19.
Yes, ma'am.
Verse 17. Remember what Amalek did unto you.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, when you were come forth out of Egypt.
That's right.
Now he met you by the way.
They met us by the way. That's right.
He smote the hindmost.
I mean, he got all the elders, all the old elders that was behind the most.
Well, that was the one.
That's
hallelujah.
He stuck in the back.
Yep.
He stuck Moses in the back.
Of you. It was all that, all were feeble.
Feeble. The ones that was like, all the ones that, like he said, the mothers.
And you stuck him into that.
Mm-hmm.
He had
elder people, real elderly people, things like that, the ones that was in the back, just got them all in the back.
Behind you. When thou was faint and weary.
Uh-huh.
And he feared not Yahweh.
He had no, this Amalek ain't got no fear, no Yahweh. He done caught us in the backside coming off that road trip. Mm-hmm. And was getting all the ones he can catch up and stick up in the back. Now, what did he say in verse 19?
Verse 19. Therefore it shall be when Yahweh, your Yahweh, has given you rest from all thy enemies round about in the land which Yahweh, your Yahweh, gives you for an inheritance to possess it, that thou should blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. Thou shalt not forget.
That's right. Now, we're going to never forget what Amalek had done to us. And make sure we're going to remember to blot them out of remembrance of heavens when this thing's taking place.
Let me get
the nigga to preach
up on that.
Hallelujah.
Give me 24 verse 20, mother. Let me get a precept on that. Never forget what Amalek did. We'll forget now. And right now,
because
it's so comfortable with Amalek.
Super comfortable.
We'll forget. He said, don't forget what Amalek did.
Don't forget.
Let you know, that's the eye job to bring that. Don't forget. I don't care what it look like. Don't forget.
That's right.
Numbers 24, 20.
Yeah.
Numbers chapter 24, verse 20. And when he looked on Amalek, he took up his parable and said, Amalek was the first of the nation.
Mm-hmm.
But his latter end shall be that he
perished forever. What do you mean he's the first of the nation? He's the first one that jumped you when you came out of slavery.
Hallelujah. Wow.
He was the first one that jumped you. You coming up out of slavery, 40 years of slavery. You tried to go to your land, and Amalek was the first enemy you had to stick your mother and father in the back.
Mm.
You see that? They was the first one that started. Now, since
they did, let's get a little counter about this Amalek when they bust their move against us. And Exodus, we're going to go to chapter 17. Let's pick it up 8 and reading all the way down to verse 16. Mm-hmm. Let's go get an encounter about this storyline about Amalek, the ones we have forgotten about.
Mm-hmm.
And before you go there, let's find out who Amalek is.
Mm-hmm.
Before you go there, Sister Abel, before you go to Exodus chapter 17, mm-hmm. and you go read 8 down to 16. Mother Eve. Let me get Genesis, and I just want you to give me chapter 36. And give me verse number 12. We just want to put it for the record about who Amalek is.
Okay. Look at Genesis chapter 36, verse 12.
Yes, ma'am.
Genesis chapter 36, verse 12 reads. And Timnah was concubine of Eliphaz, Esau's son. And she
said
to Eliphaz, Amalek. These were the sons.
That's what we need right there.
Okay.
That's what we need right there, mother. She just got done reading the book of Genesis, chapter 36, verse number 12. Eliphaz had a son named Amalek, and Eliphaz's father's name was Esau.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we come to find out about Esau's grandson, and let's see what Esau's grandson, how this thing played out when we came out of the land of Egypt. Now, it's on you, Sister Bia. Bring it on out in Exodus chapter 17, verse 8 down to 16.
Exodus chapter 17. Verse 8 to 16.
Yes, ma'am.
Verse 8. Then came Amalek and fought in Israel and
fought with Israel. Rephidim.
Verse 9. And Moses said unto Joshua,
what did he say?
Choose us out men.
That's right.
And go out.
That's right.
Fight with Amalek.
Fight with Amalek.
Tomorrow I shall stand on the top of the hill with the rod of Yahweh
in
my hand.
That's right.
Verse 10. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek.
Mm-hmm.
And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill.
That's right.
Verse 11. And it came to pass when Moses lit held up his hand that Israel prevailed.
Mm-hmm.
And when he let down his hand,
mm-hmm.
Amalek prevailed.
That's right. They want to see their leader standing up strong.
Verse 12. But Moses' hand was heavy.
That's right.
And they took a stone and put it under him.
They took a stone, and now Moses' hand started getting real ripped.
Mm-hmm.
And imagine having your hand up all that time
mm-hmm.
in the air. Now, and they took up a stone and they held it under him, giving us the Genesis chapter 4, verse number 9, in my brother's keep.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they had going on right there. They was their brother's keep. What happened when they put that stone underneath his arm and held up his hands with?
And he sat
thereon.
Uh-huh. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands. The one on one side.
That's right.
And the other on the other side.
That's right.
And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun.
They was being their brother's keeper.
Hallelujah.
Verse 13.
Verse 13. And Joshua discomforted Amalek and his people with an edge of the sword.
Uh-huh.
Verse 14. And Yahweh said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book. And rehearse it in the ears of Joshua.
Uh-huh.
For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 15.
And so he said, Yahweh said he's going to put out the remembrance
yes.
of Amalek, which one of Esau, his five sons.
Yes.
They're going to put them out front under remembrance from under heaven. Verse 15.
And Moses built an altar and called the name of it
Yahweh Nissi.
Okay. Yahweh Nissi. Verse 16. For he said, because Yahweh has sworn that Yahweh will have war with Amalek from generation to generation.
That Yahweh swore. He sworn that he would go have war. He said that. There's going to be war on with Amalek from generation to generation, even to this day. So we sitting around here trying to be friends with this old Amalek. But we have no idea that we going back up to this book of first, and let's pick it up now. Give me verse number 3. Verse number 3, Sister A.B. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse number 3.
Let's go see and get him a quick precept on that. You say you have a generation to generation, right?
That's right.
And Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9. I'm going to tell you what it says. Deuteronomy 7, verse 9.
In the book of Deuteronomy, we're going to read chapter 7, and we're going to pick it up at verse number 9. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 7, verse number 9. Verse 9 read. Know therefore that the Yahweh, your Yahweh, he is Yahweh, the faithful Yahweh, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations.
So we still, so he said his name will be going 100 generations?
1,000 generations. Verse 10, and repayeth them that hate him to their face.
So he's going to pay them once you get right to their face.
Right. To destroy them.
Yes.
He will not be slapped.
And he ain't going to be slapped.
To him that so hate him.
He let you know because you in whatever you in right now, everything still is on the table.
Hallelujah. Well.
And we ready to do everything we can with it. Eat, sleep, drink, and do everything with it. And he's telling you the thing that's on right now. That's the young man.
Hallelujah.
You hear that, my dear Israel?
Yeah, verse 15, give me verse number 3.
First Samuel, chapter 15, verse 3.
First Samuel, chapter 15, give me verse number 3.
First Samuel, chapter 15, verse 3. Now go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not.
That's right.
But slay both man and woman, infant and suckling.
That's right.
And sheep.
That's right.
Cattle and ass.
That's right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
That's
right. Hallelujah. Mother E, let me get 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse number 5, and verse number, and give me verse number 6, and then go to close the statement. 5 and 6.
Okay. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 5 and verse 6. Verse 5 reads. And Saul came to the city of Amalek and laid in the valley. Verse 6.
That's right.
And Saul said unto the Canaanites, go depart, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them, for you showest kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt, the house of bondage. So the Canaanites departed from among the Amalekites.
Hallelujah. Let me get a closing statement, Mother E.
Thanking and praising Yahweh for the class and thanking and praising Yahweh for being able to listen to the class and thanking and praising Yahweh for the teachers. And for the ones that are keeping the feast, the ones that at the temple, thanking and praising Yahweh for them, and thanking and praising Yahweh, and hoping and praying Yahweh, that they make it home safe. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah,
Yahweh.
Hallelujah,
Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh. All right, now, Mother D.F. Israel, let me get the 1 Samuel. Now, we're going to go to chapter 15 and pick it up at verse number 7.
1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 7. And Saul smote the Amalekites.
The Amalekites.
Amalekites.
That's right. Amalek. That's the
Amalek.
From Hevelah.
From Hevelah until Baal-Peor.
Sure. Uh-huh.
That is whole of their future.
Uh-huh. And let's drop down. Let's drop down to verse number 32. Verse 32. Same book. We just drop it down to verse 32.